This is Graham Joffe with Sports Fire.
This World Rugby Update is brought to you by First Cut. First Cut, a leading South African distributor of capital equipment in partnership with Bystronic. First Cut is the exclusive supplier of Bystronic high-quality machines and systems for the economical processing of sheet metal and other flat materials. For laser cutting, water jet cutting and bending solutions, visit www.firstcut.co.za. Dan Retief, our Sports Fire rugby analyst. Danny, here we go. Business end quarterfinals, and just amazing how it's ended up with a Southern and Northern Hemispheres team split.
Yeah, that is staggering. It's almost as though the IRB planned it, but I don't think they're nearly clever enough for that.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think what happened is that the result that nobody was expecting, Ireland beating Australia, probably altered that a little bit. And I see there complaints emerging from the tournament that one of the reasons the Southern Hemisphere teams are struggling with big injuries, for instance, Dan Carter, Francois Steyn, is that the Southern season is too hard. They played a very hard Super Rugby tournament. They insisted on including the Tri Nations. We now see from Steve Tu of New Zealand's remarks that it was all about the money and not the importance of the tournament. And that might be a concern, that the Southern Hemisphere teams might have played themselves out. The one that does indicate that is maybe the Wallabies. The Wallabies, because they don't have a lot of depth, they seem to attempt to play through the Tri Nations and into the World Cup with pretty much their best side the whole way, and they've certainly picked up the most injuries, you know. So a big concern, you know. But now it's eight teams left standing, you know, just those few games left, four quarterfinals, a semi-final, a playoff for third place that nobody really cares about, and then a final. And as Jack White always said, you know, if you win the next three games that you play, whoever happens to run onto the field in front of you, you come home with a cup. And, you know, it's now do or die. It's a terrible moment that happens in these quarterfinals, you know, because you've played so hard. You've gone through the injuries and maybe the few crises, and then suddenly you lose a quarterfinal and you have to go home, you know. So, but one thing that we do have, though, is that our team has definitely been there before, and they understand very well how that works, you know. And I think that is probably now going to be our biggest plus point.
Let's look ahead now. Sunday, 7 a.m. South African time, the Box against Australia. Obviously, the loss of Frans Steyn is a massive blow for the Box. I mean, he's really come into his own at inside centre. Just a bit mysterious. Zane Kirshner is the replacement. Surely he's not going to play.
Yeah, no, I was staggered by that. All I could think is they felt that Zane Kirshner had been in the team before, that he'd been on tour with them, that he understood what they were trying to do. He has, in fact, played centre in a test overseas, although not inside centre. And I wondered whether they were looking to cover fullback, shouldn't have sent a youngster like Jaco Tauta from the Lions. Or if they were looking for a centre. I think Juan de Jong will probably step up in the centre. I think he's an excellent prospect. He doesn't have to stand back in the centre. But you know, there might have been the young centre from Western Province, Johan Tata again.
Gio Aplon.
I mean, Gio's there as well, yeah. You know. But no, the young centre from Western Province could have been sent.
Saadi.
I didn't understand. Sorry?
Not Johan Saadi.
Saadi. Saadi could have been sent. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he looks a really good one. And I think what went in Zane Kirshner's favour is that he's played there before. I just Zane Kirshner, to me, strikes me as a player that just makes too many errors in every game, as he does for the Bulls, you know. But I don't think it's because they're expecting him to play it so that they can have a player there in case of. But, you know, Francois Steyn, you've mentioned Joffers. He is a tremendous blow, because I went a bit back into the games we've recently played, the games we played with him. And, you know, that massive penalty that he kicks, or that drop kick, is incredibly crucial to us, you know, because it was crucial in the game against Samoa. It was crucial in the game against Wales, you know, where we looked like we might have lost a game, but that penalty from our own half gave us the cushion we needed. It was crucial when we won the Tri Nations. You know, we won a test against the Wallabies with his contribution. He made one of those in the World Cup final in 2007, you know. So it is quite a loss. Something that did strike me, though, in the Samoa game is that I became very concerned about our defence. Something had seemed to have changed in our defence structures, and, And Francois Steyn became a little bit culpable there because of his size. He doesn't turn very quickly. He doesn't close gaps. And I thought Samoa had prized open, had picked open a little weakness in our fly-off channel. In other words, outside the fly-off, inside the inside center. They seemed to find something there. And what I couldn't understand is why the Springboks were standing back and waiting for Samoa to run at them. In other words, giving the Samoa the chance to build up some pace. Then we also saw many instances of Jacques Ferry sort of rushing up on the outside. And I tell you what, a team like Australia with Quade Cooper, who runs that diagonal line so cleverly and he goes at such pace, they could expose us if we're coming in off our line all the time. Because it'll simply take one wide pass or a double skip. So to me, that was a real worry. I sat and watched the TV, and I couldn't understand why we seemed to have fiddled with our defensive pattern. But, who knows? Maybe that's what they want the Wallabies to be thinking, and if that's the case, well, fantastic.
So can we now give Peter de Villiers the credit for the first smart quote to come from him? Because he compared Francis Steyn's blow to the box as big as Dan Carter's loss for the All Blacks.
Yeah, hardly. Francis Steyn, we haven't all got into mourning, and we feel that we can cover him. But Dan Carter, one's heart bleeds for Dan Carter. I'll never forget the shot of his face in Cardiff in 07 when he sat on the stand and he literally looked sick. And now, the World Cup's at home. It's his chance to win a World Cup, to probably stamp himself as the best player of his era, certainly the best fly off his era, and it's all taken away. And that might go to what the Southern Hemisphere people are talking about, that our players are overplayed, and that Dan Carter has been carrying an ankle niggle, and he's been carrying some problems. He's often stood down out of matches just recently. And people have been saying, is Dan Carter okay? And now in a training match, he goes, his groin gets injured. And I'm sure that if the Southern Hemisphere do badly in these quarterfinals, there's going to be an enormous outcry and the fingers are going to be shown at the officials.
I can't see New Zealand being troubled by Argentina. That's also on Sunday. But I want to chat about the other two quarters that look like absolute humdingers. Ireland have been, I think, just fantastic. They've got better with every game. The Ireland-Wales clash must be surely another one of the pick of the quarterfinals.
Well, no, that's going to be an incredible game. Wales have looked really good. What Wales, interestingly, have done, they delivered pretty much the same results against the same opponents as we did. And as we've all conceded, we were incredibly lucky to beat them. The Irish look fantastic side as well. They look like they're in that sort of mindset of this is our last chance. It's the last time for glory, under Brian O'Driscoll. And if you look at the Irish team sheet, it's full of British lions. Rob Kearney, Tommy Bowe, Keith Earls. Tommy Bowe, I mean, what a winger he is. And then they've uncovered a flanker, Sean O'Brien, who's playing the rugby of his life. And they to me, remind me of a very competent Springbok side. Very good loose forwards, big locks, scrum well, do the basics well. Ronan O'Gara, they've now decided, is their best fly-off, and that is a good decision for them. But equally Wales. Wales look very competent, and I think that, if anything, is going to be the tightest, closest, toughest clash of the whole of the four quarters.
England, France. I mean, the French, they looked, I don't say they looked awful against Tonga. I mean, I want to give credit to the Tongans for an incredible victory. But I mean, the French, you still don't know which French side is actually going to show up. And I still think England are going to come out on top, say.
Yeah, England just looked too competent for them. England have also had their problems. They've behaved extremely badly at the Rugby World Cup. I just don't know what they're thinking, and obviously Martin Johnson's attitude is that he's not a nursemaid. They've rather taken advantage. But they're also a competent side. They've got good players in every position. And you're right about the French. I mean, the first time ever in the history of a Rugby World Cup that a team has lost in the pool stages twice and made it into the playoffs. If there's one nation that can absolutely turn it around, it's France. They are so unpredictable, but they do seem to have enormous problems in their squad with their coach. They're very unhappy with him. He makes the most outlandish statements about his team, and it's almost as though they decided that if their football team could do it in 2010, their rugby team can do it in 2011. So, but if there's one team that can turn it around, and you look at their team sheet, They're a very competent side. Although Liv Grimaud he insists on playing Parra at fly half, the scrum half and the fly half, and every team looks at Parra and the fly half channel, and it just sends the big ball carriers in there and exposes them. It's pretty much what Tonga did. So, it has to be, I would think, logically, it has to be England.
British tabloids are just having a field day, but I mean, you've got to Mark Tindall. I mean, what is he thinking? Married to royalty, and he's out in a pub and letting a girl kiss the top of his head. You know what? I mean, if that's all that happened, he's lucky.
Yeah, and some of the shots that the Daily Mail got off the security cameras showed that he was being pretty cozy with the girl, you know, and you mentioned, I mean, he's married to royalty. So you'd think he'd know a bit about security cameras and being watched, you know. So, I mean, it's just a completely idiotic behavior, you know. And I think that might affect England to a certain extent, because you must know that the tabloid hounds are going to be baying around their hotel and around their press conferences. And because of the marriage to royalty and that their captain is somebody who has captained them and is obviously a very influential person in their squad. I think it could impact on them quite severely, you know, and they could get into a game where France suddenly, undergo a transformation, you know, and rip off this sort of mask of falsehood that they've had, and England could get into trouble. But, you know, taken on a logical level, England looked too competent for a French side that's just not focused.
And I just saw a story today about this, the bouncer that got the CCTV footage from that pub. Supposedly he was let off the hook and he didn't obtain it illegally. But anyway, let's now talk Currie Cup. What a fight back from the Lions, Danny. 14 points.
Can I just change the subject?
Yes, you can.
With Springboks and the Wallabies, we got Bryce Lawrence as a referee.
Oh, that's right.
Which I think is good for us. I think we do better with a Southern Hemisphere referee. But what I couldn't understand is that Nigel Owens, who absolutely messed up our game against Samoa. I mean, it was a completely and utterly incompetent performance with lots of off the ball incidents. He stays on the panel and gets given a quarterfinal, you know. So the referees group can never ever say that they discipline their referees or that referees get into trouble for poor performances, you know. But thank goodness we didn't get him again.
Well, at least you got to keep a comedian in there somewhere.
Yes.
Right, Currie Cup. Lions, the fight back at the weekend. I couldn't believe the guts and the fight that the Lions showed. I mean, 14 points down, 5 minutes to go, 25 all against the Cheetahs in Bloom. The Lions really do have what it takes to win the Currie Cup this season.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant. Because to do that, you have to have an incredible mindset, you know, because most teams say, well, look, we might score once, but we're not going to score twice. And those 2 points are going to be crucial, you know, to looking at the log, the Lions, I think they pretty much need one more point from their last two games to guarantee qualification. But obviously their goal has to be to go to the top of the log and be number one so that they play at home in a semi-final and at home in a potential final.
Excellent. Just one thing I just want to point out, that Western Province victory, I mean, a depleted Western Province side, 15-10 win in the Shark Tank, that's kept the Lions, I mean, kept Western Province alive in the race.
Oh, yes, very much so, and pretty much out of jail there, you know, pretty Michalak. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, obviously, also, the Sharks didn't want to settle for the draw, but the way that suddenly, you know, you try, grab a kick, it goes wrong, and Duvenage gets the try, and Province gets some points. Because it's, you know, that, and that kept them up in fourth place with the Bulls, you know, charging from the back, really desperately trying to make it into the top four. You know what is going to be an interesting aspect of this Currie Cup to keep an eye on? If the Springboks should drop out of the Rugby World Cup, and, you know, it is possible. Australia have beaten us five out of the last six times.
Yeah.
So they have an edge on us at the moment. They've also beaten us two in a row. In fact, that's one of the reasons I think they won't beat us, because I can't see the Wallabies beating us three times in a row. But that said, if the Springboks come home, you know what's going to be a big issue in the Currie Cup is whether the Springboks then get to play in the Currie Cup. And some teams will and some teams won't, you know. But I'm hoping it doesn't happen at all. I'm hoping that the Springboks go all the way to the Rugby World Cup final, so we don't have that issue at all.
Great stuff. Dan Retief, our Sportsfire rugby analyst. We'll chat again on Thursday.
Super. Thanks, Joffers. Have a good week.
You too. This World Rugby Update was brought to you by First Cut. First Cut, a leading South African distributor of capital equipment in partnership with Bystronic. First Cut is the exclusive supplier of Bystronic high-quality machines and systems for the economical processing of sheet metal and other flat materials. For laser cutting, water jet cutting and bending solutions, visit www.firstcut.co.za. After the break, we preview the Fish River Canoe Marathon with Dave McLeod and our Blast from the Past, a mystery Aussie guest. That's coming up after the break.
This is Graham Joffe with Sports Fire.